This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and I'm Heather Vail. Joining me is Wendy Hodges-Kent, Director of Development for Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada. The organization has some unique events coming up, including their Bottles for BizTown and Fashion for Finance Park fundraiser. Wendy, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So for those who don't know the organization, what exactly is Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada?
Junior Achievement is the world's leading organization teaching economic education for young people K through 12.
When was the Southern Nevada chapter founded?
Yeah, so we've been in Southern Nevada for almost 30 years.
Wow, okay. So how exactly does Junior Achievement work with schools and students to teach financial literacy?
So JAUSA has created a curriculum that is engaging, fun, exciting way to address these not so fun issues. So we talk about it. We talk about it in a fun way, but we create curriculum for young people starting in kindergarten.
Tell us more about the Bottles for BizTown and Fashion for Finance Park event.
So this is a spirited evening of fun wine, beer, and spirit tasting. It's paired with gourmet bites. It will have a fashion show experience also included in that, and a silent auction. It's a fundraiser, an opportunity for us just to have fun, network, socialize in a different kind of environment.
Okay, what is the environment?
So we have a 40,000 square foot space that has two simulated cities on each side. One is for elementary school students, and the other side is for middle and high schoolers. Elementary school students, our city is reflective of the city that our kids live in. So the brands, Google is there, the Raiders are there, PNC Bank, Lexicon Bank, UNLV, Nevada Gold Mines. So our city looks like the city that our children live in. And they actually learn to run the city, how they fit into the larger economy. What does it mean to have business-to-business transactions, business-to-consumer transactions? It's a career exploration for them every single day.
Okay, so BizTown and Finance Park are these cities that you're talking about?
Yes. Finance Park is for middle and high schoolers. It's where they become an adult for a day. It's an AI-based program. They put their interest into an iPad, and then it generates them an adult persona. So they get a credit score. They get a family dynamic, so they know if they're married or single, if they have children, and the age of their children, an occupation, and a salary. They then have to balance their budget for 1 month over 26 different categories. And the storefronts on that side represent the different categories they have to consider when they're making their budget.
Okay. So this is a fundraiser. What do the proceeds go to support?
All of JA programming, so the young people can have that field trip experience here.
And when exactly is this event happening and where? I know it's in these cities that you've created, yeah. But where exactly are these cities?
It's at the Inspiration Center, and we're right off of the 95 and Tropicana. It's called the Inspiration Center.
And when is it happening?
It is happening Friday, October 10th. And that's also the same day that JA was given a proclamation for JA Day in Las Vegas. So it is JA Day in Las Vegas on October 10th every year.
Nice. That's awesome. What are some of the silent auction items that you'll have available?
Oh, gosh, yes. So there will be a 2-day guest pass for the Formula One grandstand tickets. The Venetian has given an amazing package for a staycation that includes dinner and tickets to the Wizard of Oz at the Sphere. There is a Sweet Lovers package that has a gift card for Pink Box and for Tiff's Treats. So they're just an array of different kinds. There are probably about 15 different packages that people can bid on.
Nice. Okay. Now, that event is for the adults. So what are you planning for the kids on Halloween?
On Halloween, we are having our JA Community Day. And a Community Day is an opportunity for young people to engage with JA programming outside of their school.
And, you know, they're off school for Nevada Day. So it's
right.
Nevada Day. It's Halloween. It's a day off school. What exactly does this day look like for them?
For young people, 4th through 6th grade, they'll come into BizTown, and it'll be an opportunity for them to learn about resumes and interviews, career exploration for the most part. Finance Park, very similar. They'll learn about budgeting, investing, saving, And just kind of, you kind of wake up in that respect. You wake up and you're 30 years old, you have children, and you're just kind of navigating life.
And since it's Halloween, will they be wearing costumes?
They definitely can wear costumes. We only ask that they not wear masks or a full face covering. But yeah, they'll have an opportunity to trick or treat as we get towards the latter part of the afternoon.
Nice. Okay. Now, what opportunities do you have for volunteers at Junior Achievement?
Our program is run by volunteers. We give volunteers everything they need to go into a classroom or to come into the Inspiration Center and assist with programming. So we need volunteers in every aspect, every day.
What are the criteria? If they're going into classrooms, do they have to know about financial education?
Well, it really is more so. We ask the professional to talk a little bit about their own personal experiences. How did you navigate life as a young person? Did you make some mistakes? And how did you correct those mistakes? And that really is what it's about. Helping a young person understand that, everything's not going to be given to you, but you're given the information so that you can figure life out on your own.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, if someone wanted to become a volunteer, what's the application process like?
It's a very simple application process. We ask you to go to jasnv.org. Go to our website. We have a volunteer coordinator, Krista Wheeler, and she's always ready and available to answer questions.
Okay, awesome. And speaking of teaching in classrooms, how do you choose which schools and which classrooms get a Junior Achievement program?
We have a mandate in our state that is an unfunded mandate. So our educators aren't really even focusing on it at this point, but great teachers find the information they need to educate their young people. And so for the most part, it is educators reaching out to JA staff.
That's fantastic. All right. So, how can people find out more about Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada? You mentioned they could sign up to be a volunteer there. Or if they want to get tickets to the Bottles for BizTown and Fashion for Finance Park event, where do they go for all of that?
Go to our website, jasnv.org, or give us a call, 702-214-0500.
All right, awesome. So once again, the website for Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada is jasnv.org. That stands for Junior Achievement Southern Nevada, jasnv.org. You can find out all the information about what Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada does. If you'd like to be a volunteer, you can apply there. And if you'd like to attend the Bottles for BizTown and Fashion for Finance Park event, you can find out all the information there as well, jasnv.org. And we've been speaking with Wendy Hodges-Kent, Director of Development for Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada. And Wendy, I really appreciate you being here, letting us know what Junior Achievement is doing in the community, and especially this fundraiser sounds like a lot of fun. And then you've got this event for the kids on Halloween, Nevada Day, also JA Community Day. Sounds like a lot of fun as well. So thank you so much for sharing today.
I appreciate your support. Thank you so much.
In times of struggle, conflict, poverty, good finds a way. Good is happening even now. Good connects us, even in the hardest times. Good never stops, and neither does Children International. With support from Caring Friends, we help provide children and families with the critical essentials they need: nutritional support, access to healthcare, educational support, and job training and placement. We're building a better today and a brighter tomorrow by working with communities and friends like you to help end poverty. For children, for families, for good. To learn more about our work around the world, go to children.org today.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Tammy Hantzlaer, CEO and State Director for Communities and Schools of Nevada. Their 15th annual Today for Tomorrow fundraiser is coming up in a couple of weeks. Tammy, thank you so much for being here today.
It is my pleasure to be back with you, Heather.
So, for those who aren't familiar, what exactly is Communities and Schools?
Well, we are an organization that works so closely with our local schools to remove whatever barrier it is that keeps our kids from coming to school and being successful. And ultimately, our job is to make sure they graduate career, college, and community ready.
And how many schools are you in now across Nevada?
Across Nevada, we're in 117 schools. That's elementary schools, that's middle schools, that's high schools. And the model places a full-time CIS team member. We call them site coordinators. And those team members go to those 117 schools each and every day. And they work with our kids to, like I said, remove all the barriers. So we provide shoes and socks and school supplies. We provide mental health support. We provide weekend food bags. We provide one-to-one case management for kids that are going through a trauma, maybe have some hard things that are happening in their lives. We work on their getting them to come to school. We work with them on academics. We work with them on behavior. Really anything that happens in a school building, communities and schools is there to support and make sure our kids have the resources they need.
Nice. Okay. Now, 117 schools as of right now, this number grows every time I ask you. So besides the number of schools, how has this program grown over the years?
Well, I mean, to your point, yes, we have grown. The needs have grown. How we have grown is really we've been very thoughtful about the schools that we've added, and we've added them in feeder patterns. And so what that means is that because we want to wrap our kids from kindergarten all the way up through their senior year in high school, I want to make sure that we're in every elementary, every middle, and every high school through their K through 12 education and career. And so we focus on our highest need schools in our most low-income neighborhoods so that we can make sure kids have everything that they need all the way through their school education.
That's awesome. Now, from the student's perspective, what does this look like on a day-to-day basis?
Well, what this looks like is we're one of the only people on a school campus that doesn't grade or doesn't discipline our student. And in every single school that we have a resource room. That communities and schools resource room is either a classroom or a portable on a school campus. And it's filled with all the basic need items that I mentioned earlier. And it really becomes a safe place for kids. Some of them are Zen rooms. As I mentioned, they're safe places. So if a student shows up and, you know, they don't have their backpack because maybe something happened or they were locked out of their home or whatever it happens to be, they can show up in that resource room and they can get a backpack and they can get paper and pencils and all the things they need to complete their school day. If they are feeling bullied or a little overwhelmed at school, they can show up in that resource room and have a safe person to talk to. If a teacher has noticed some behavioral issues in a student that maybe weren't there before, instead of sending to the principal's office or the dean's office, they can send the student to go visit our CIS site coordinator in the resource room, and they can talk through what's going on. These are just so many of the ways that we show up for our kids each and every single day.
That's fantastic. All right, so tell us about the Today for Tomorrow fundraising event that you have coming up.
Well, this is one of the best events of the year. I mean, as you and your listeners know, we always do a theme. We always make it creative and unique. We are kind of the ungala where we really want people to show up, learn a little bit about our program, of course, maybe invest a little bit of money in the work that we're doing, and then really have a good time. And we were all about putting community into the schools. And so this really is an extension of that, bringing the community all together to celebrate the incredible things that are happening in our schools every single day.
Yeah, so you said there's a theme every year. What is it this year?
Well, this year, we are going to play Family Feud. So it's a game show theme. We are literally playing Family Feud. We're going to have our honorees team against some local celebrities and some of our, you know, special guests. We're going to play a couple rounds of Family Feud and have a really good time with the audience. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So people can come dressed in fun game show theme, Let's Make a Deal, Family Feud, all those kinds of things. Or we're also encouraging people, because we have lounges, so it's a very fun and festive environment. We're encouraging our groups of 8 or 10 people to come dressed as a group theme. So famous families or maybe famous couples or things like that. So as you know, people get very creative at our event.
Yeah, sounds fun. So who are the honorees this year?
Well, drum roll, please. We are so pleased this year to be honoring our former board chair and president of Communities and Schools. She served us for many, many years, is Congresswoman Susie Lee. So before Susie became a congresswoman fighting for Nevada up in D.C., she led our organization for over a decade, working with our board of directors, being on our board of directors, really working towards making sure that every student has what they need to be successful. And we're finally getting to honor her.
That's awesome. I didn't know that about Susie Lee.
Yes, she has been a champion for kids for many, many years. Even before she was a part of communities and schools, she was part of After School All-Stars and also the Las Vegas Rescue Mission. She has a long resume and a lot of experience in nonprofit and community leadership.
That's awesome. So when and where is it all happening?
Well, we're back at the beautiful Fountain Blue Hotel. They're such great partners of ours. It's on Saturday, October 18th, which is right around the corner. And we're just super excited. It's going to be a really great event. And as always, we have a lot of surprise and delight.
And what time is it?
It starts at 6 o'clock sharp.
So how can people find out more about Communities and Schools of Nevada or get tickets to the 15th annual Today for Tomorrow UnGala happening on October 18th?
Exactly, Heather. Well, we would love to hear from people who want to buy tickets, who want to volunteer for the organization, visit a Communities and Schools resource room, or just learn more. You can do that at CISNevada.org. And of course, we're on all your favorite social channels.
Awesome. Okay. So once again, the website for Communities and Schools of Nevada is CISNevada.org. That stands for Communities and Schools Nevada, CISNevada.org. You can find out more about what Communities and Schools of Nevada does. You can sign up to be a volunteer, or you can get tickets to the 15th annual Today for Tomorrow fundraising UnGala. Once again, that's coming up on Saturday, October 18th, 6 p.m., Fountain Blue, Las Vegas. And again, CISNevada.org is where you can find out more. We've been speaking today with Tammy Hance-Lehr, CEO and State Director for Communities and Schools of Nevada. Tammy, I really appreciate you being here, updating us on what Communities and Schools is doing, how it's growing, the difference that it's making in all those kids' lives, and letting us know about the always fun and exciting Today for Tomorrow UnGala. So thank you so much for sharing today.
It's a pleasure. We can't do it without you, so thanks so much for having us.
In classrooms across the country, chronic absenteeism is on the rise.
Sophia A, grade 4, absent.
Julio M, grade 6, absent.
Aisha S, grade 12, absent.
These absences are often due to the absence of crucial needs, like transportation, healthcare, a working computer, mental health support. The list goes on.
Olivia H. absent.
Preston L. absent.
Chloe B. absent.
The reasons why they're absent are very real, and yet the solution is someone present to help them along their path. When site coordinators from Communities and Schools are on hand, they connect kids to the resources they need. And when they do, 99% of students are present and remain in school throughout the year.
Jacob O., grade 10.
Present.
Communities and Schools works directly with students, helping them overcome obstacles to succeed in school and in life. Learn more at communitiesinschools.org. Being present matters.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Priscilla Rodriguez, Senior Vice President of College Readiness Assessments at the College Board. Priscilla, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So first of all, what is the College Board?
The College Board is a 125-year-old membership-led nonprofit organization focused on education, primarily in high schools in the U.S. and around the world. Our mission is to help students clear a path to own their future, and we're most known for advanced placement or AP classes that students take in high school and can often earn college credit for, as well as the SAT and the PSAT tests that millions of students take during high school.
So what exactly is the PSAT NMSQT?
Sure. So the PSAT NMSQT, which stands for Preliminary SAT, National Merit Scholarship Qualifying Test, is a test that millions of 10th and 11th grade students across the country take every year in the month of October. And it is a test that helps students prepare for the SAT. It helps show students, parents, and teachers what skills students are strongest on and which ones they should keep focusing on. Helps identify students who have potential to succeed in AP classes. And importantly, opens doors to $300 million in scholarship opportunities for students. Particularly, the National Merit Scholarship Corporation, one of our partners, runs a big scholarship program across the country. And this is the only test students can use to qualify for their scholarships.
Okay. And is the PSAT optional, or is this intended that all 10th and 11th graders should take it?
It's a great question. So schools are the ones who bring the PSAT and MSQT into the building for their students. And they often encourage all students, again, generally 10th and 11th graders, to participate for those reasons I mentioned, right? It's a great practice for the SAT, help show the reading, writing, and math skills that students are strongest on and the ones that they should keep practicing and focusing on, and connects them to, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of scholarships.
Yeah, that's awesome. So obviously, it provides a lot of information. What specifically should students look at to learn something from their PSAT and MSQT score reports?
Great question. So a few weeks after students take the test, they get a score report back. And first, what they're going to want to look at is how they did on the two sections of the test. There's a reading writing section and a math section, and they'll get a score for each of those. And then underneath that, they will get a sense for, within reading, writing, and math, which skills they performed the best on and which ones were weaker areas for them. That gives them, their parents, and their teachers really important insight about where they are in their learning about halfway through high school. And students can then start doing more focused skill building and practice on official SAT practice on Khan Academy. Khan Academy is a large nonprofit, a big partner of ours, and they allow students to do skill-based practice targeting the areas that they weren't as strong on the test. So it's a really great way to get a sense for where you are in your reading, writing, and math, and then move over to Khan Academy to do targeted practice and skill building.
Okay. And how can these tests also help students prepare for the SAT that they'll take later?
Yeah, the PSAT and MSQT is designed to really kind of mirror the SAT that students generally will take in spring of junior year and sometimes again fall of senior year. And that's really by design. We want this to be a great opportunity for students to get comfortable with the format of the test, that structure, reading, writing section, and math section, the length, which is just over 2 hours long, and the format, which is now digital. So the PSATs and SATs are now taken digitally. And so students who take the PSAT and MSQT are getting a great preview and great practice for the SAT, which should help them feel more confident and comfortable when they walk in on the big day for the SAT.
Okay. And then looking forward a little further, how can the PSAT and MSQT play a part in college and career planning?
It's a great question, because people, you know, obviously when we talk about tests, people often think about the score. And of course that matters. But again, because the PSAT and MSQT is happening about halfway through a student's high school experience, it can play a really important role in helping them do the planning that they do about what options they're going to pursue after high school. And so specifically, when a student takes the PSAT and MSQT, they can get connected to scholarship programs, National Merit and otherwise. They can also start connecting with colleges who are looking for students like them. And then they also get information about careers, and including careers that are growing in their state that rely upon the same skills they just demonstrated in the test. And then they can do kind of personalized career exploration.
Awesome. Okay. Where can students and their families find out more information?
Sure. So students and families can go to psat.org, O-R-G, for more information on the PSAT and MSQT to prepare and practice and do their best on test day.
Awesome. All right. So once again, that website is psat.org. Simple, easy to remember, same as the test, psat.org, and that will give you more information about the PSAT and MSQT tests and what's involved and the benefits of taking it, all kinds of information for students and their families. And we've been speaking today with Priscilla Rodriguez, Senior Vice President of College Readiness Assessments at the College Board. Priscilla, I really appreciate you being here clarifying. I mean, we've got a lot of letters and initials floating around here.
Certainly a long name.
Right.
Yep, a long name, but an important test, and a test that really can open up doors of opportunity for students across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. You've made it simple and easy to understand. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
We are the NFHS. That stands for the National Federation of State High School Associations. But really, what we stand for, together with the NIAA, are the 48,000 high school sports and performing arts students in Nevada. And so we stand. We stand for the runners, debate team members, and basketball players. We stand for their coaches, officials, and adjudicators. We stand for the drummers, football players, and actors. We stand for the golfers, singers, and swimmers. We stand as the national leader and advocate for these essential activities and all who participate in them and make them possible. Because it is our purpose to ensure that high school students get to play, perform, and compete together. To learn more about who we are and what we stand for, visit nfhs.org.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Dr. Brittany Albright, board-certified psychiatrist and medical director at Sweetgrass Psychiatry, and Ben, an IT consultant living with treatment-resistant depression. October 10th is World Mental Health Day, and clinical depression, or major depressive disorder, is one of the most common mental health disorders. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Hi, Heather. Thank you so much for having me and Ben.
So, Dr. Albright, what are the signs and symptoms of clinical depression or major depressive disorder?
Major depressive disorder is a tricky illness because there can be multiple different combinations of symptoms. So it looks different for every individual. Often we think about it as persistent feelings of sadness, tearfulness. However, most of my patients will present actually feeling numb or losing interest in things they normally like to do, or withdrawing socially, having decreased energy, having appetite changes, sleep changes, feelings of guilt or worthlessness. And one of the worst side effects of major depression can be feeling as if you don't want to live anymore.
And how common is it?
Last year, around 8% of U.S. adults, according to the National Institute of Mental Health, experience a major depressive episode. It's extremely common.
Okay. Now, what's treatment-resistant depression?
Treatment-resistant depression is also quite common. In fact, around a third of patients with major depressive disorder experience treatment resistance, which means that they've tried two or more treatments and those two treatments have not worked. And it's imperative with those individuals that we treat their depression early and aggressively, because the longer we wait, the harder it is to help a patient into remission, almost like cancer.
Okay, so if two or more treatments have not worked, what are the treatment options at that point?
There's actually only a couple that are approved by the FDA, and the one that I commonly prescribe to my patients is called Spravato, and it's actually a nasal spray that my patients self-administer in my office. And it's a two-hour treatment. And most patients have a wonderful experience with this treatment. They don't have to take it every day. There's a whole protocol and a schedule. Very safe. We actually have almost 6 years of safety data. It's been out now for about 6 years. There are a few risks, though, that I do want to highlight, and that's why we have a risk evaluation mitigation strategy is what it's called, because it can cause dissociation or a light floaty feeling for some folks, rare cases, respiratory issues. Also, it is a controlled medication, and so there's a risk of abuse and misuse, and that's why we have patients administer it in the office setting, so they're safely supervised. They never take this medication home with them. And then this is not to be used as anesthesia, as pain control. So I did want to differentiate in that way. And it's not proven to be safe in children. So we only use it in adults.
Okay. So 2 hours of nasal spray?
Yes. It's just, it's interesting, huh?
Yeah. All right. So, Ben, what's your personal experience with treatment-resistant depression?
Again, thank you so much for having me to talk about this. It's just one of my deep passions to share stories on mental health. And for me, just to echo what Dr. Albright said, my personal kind of experiences with those are I started to isolate from friends and family. I was becoming more irritable. And with that irritability was my inner voice of self-doubt and self-hate getting louder and louder. The numbness that Dr. Albright mentioned and that losing your energy, both very, very real, but it's an exhaustion. You can sleep all day. It doesn't matter. You're still tired and you can't get up. You're not eating. You're not able to get out of bed. I'd go days without getting out of bed and brushing my teeth, and I'd fall asleep on the floor with a bottle of whiskey a lot and my cat next to me, thankfully keeping me company through it all. And while this was all going on 24 hours a day, my inner voice just reminded me how terrible of a person I am, how the world and my friends and family would be better off if I was gone. And there were some nights I'd stare at my ceiling and I'd say, you know, I don't care if I am gone, which is really heartbreaking me to think of, you know, looking back at things with where I am now.
Yeah, wow. How did you feel when you first received the diagnosis of major depressive disorder?
So I was actually diagnosed with treatment-resistant depression, and how I got there was I went through several cycles. I went through 10 different antidepressants, and for those listening who don't know what the antidepressant cycle is, it takes weeks to ramp up. You start with a low dose, you ramp up over weeks, 8, 10, 12 weeks, you sit there for a little bit at a higher dose, see if it works. If it's not working, you have to come down, then ramp up and start another one. For me with treatment-resistant depression, I didn't get any of the benefits in any of the depressants. I got all the side effects, which made it even more difficult to leave my apartment even if I wanted to. A lot of physical and mental side effects with that. So I felt incredibly hopeless that I had no step forward. And when I was diagnosed with treatment-resistant depression, at first it was scary. But then it was like hope, because I'm like, oh, I'm not the only one. Other people have this. This is a thing, and there are other options like Spravato. And I'm just like, heck yeah, let's go. Foot on the gas. I'm ready to do this. I don't want to be on my floor anymore. My cat doesn't want me to be on my floor anymore. My family doesn't either. And it led to hope and excitement, to be completely honest.
Wow. Okay. So 10 different antidepressants didn't work. Now you've got something that worked. How did that feel?
It gave me so much hope. So my sister actually shared data with Spravato on me as it was going through FDA approvals, and my psychiatrist helped me get into Spravato treatment. And as Dr. Albright mentioned, it's once a week, it's 2 hours a session, and you sit there, and I helped troubleshoot myself during these sessions from things I learned in sit therapy and from my psychiatrist. And I was able to look at myself for the first time without judgment and hate in a very long time, with love and compassion and empathy. And it's really the first step of healing through depression is learning to love yourself, because you hate yourself every day, every second of every day. And that could go on for years. And it's like being, you know, chained to a person who hates your guts and doesn't stop talking about how they hate you 24 hours a day. So Spravato was a piece that really helped, along with therapy, along with the antidepressant song and dance, along with friends and family supporting me to help me take that step forward to help me become Ben again. And it feels really good going through this journey and putting the effort in. And a lot of it is putting the hard work in with the tools given to you.
Yeah, that's amazing. Dr. Albright, how can people help a loved one who might have treatment-resistant depression or hasn't been able to find the right treatment yet?
First, we need to reassure our loved ones and ourselves that depression is not your fault. It's not their fault. This is a biological illness that requires treatment. And I would encourage everyone to speak with their primary care clinician, or if they have a therapist or a psychiatrist. Also, if someone's not plugged in with care, there's a great website called bravado.com that folks can go to if they have any suicidal thoughts or thoughts of not wanting to live anymore. I recommend that they call 988 or text 988 and seek treatment, because help is available and our treatments are newer and different now.
Okay, awesome. So once again, that website is spravato.com. It's spelled S-P-R-A-V-A-T-O, spravato.com. Or if you're feeling desperate, you are going through issues, 988 is the free helpline that you can call, 988. And we've been speaking today with Dr. Brittany Albright, board-certified psychiatrist and medical director at Sweetgrass Psychiatry, as well as Ben, an IT consultant living with treatment-resistant depression. Of course, next Friday, October 10th, is World Mental Health Day, but mental health is an important issue all year round. Dr. Albright and Ben, I really appreciate you both being here. Dr. Albright, for letting us know more about treatment-resistant depression, and Ben, for sharing your personal story. So thank you both so much for your time.
Thank you
so much.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly everything seems darker, less lively, and you lose your motivation to get out of bed.
If you struggle with depression, you're not alone. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, and no matter the time of year, it may affect your behavioral or physical ability to live a happy life.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you're going through, and we're here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental wellness.
If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
I'm Dennis Foley with Odyssey. Halloween is around the corner, which means people are out buying their Halloween costumes, decorations, and candy. But is this actually the Halloween shopping season? Well, yes and no. While there are plenty of creepy crawlies out there, the tricks and treats may actually be from Santa and his elves. Bankrate's Ted Rossman joins us. First, let's start with what the calendar says. Halloween, that's up first. What do those shopping trends look like for this year?
The National Retail Federation says that Halloween spending is expected to reach a record $13.1 billion this year. That's up about 13% from last year, which is a really impressive year-over-year jump. You know, it's hard to say exactly what's driving that, because fortunately, prices haven't risen that much over the past year. Halloween is a Friday this year, so it may be that that's leading to a bit more interest in parties and trick-or-treating and things like that. Per person, they say this works out to about $114 per person. So we're talking about candy, we're talking about costumes, decorations, all these things that go into Halloween. Now, some people fear that prices could be a bit higher this year because of tariffs and inflation, but a lot of this is just an upward trend that we've seen in recent years. The previous record was actually 2 years ago. Last year brought a dip, and then this year's a big surge upward. So some of this is also in keeping with what we see about consumer sentiment being downbeat, but actual spending being more positive. Some of that is that the job market's better than many give it credit for, although there have been some signs of weakening lately. Some of it is people are kind of climbing the wall of worry, and even if they're not happy about inflation and high interest rates and the cost of living, they still want to have some fun. So it may be that that's factoring into Halloween spending as well. I know we just crossed into October and Halloween is top of mind, but I also thought it was worth mentioning that we're basically on the verge of Christmas shopping season as well. Maybe that's a separate story, but next week we're going to see Amazon Prime Big Deal Days, Target Circle Week. Walmart has a holiday deals kickoff. Black Friday basically starts in October now. We found that half of Christmas shoppers begin before the end of October, and a lot of people are going to be starting next week with all these major retail events.
I mean, yeah, let's talk a little Christmas, because I mean, in a way, it feels like holiday creep, which kind of plays into the whole Halloween, scary, creepy. But why has the holiday shopping season continued to spread out? Is this retailers trying to beat everyone else to the punch and offering deals? Or is this, you know, consumer behavior where they're trying to spread out the expenses over a longer period?
I would point to the pandemic as a catalyst for change that has stuck. The motivation has changed a bit. In 2020, people started early because they were worried about the supply chain, and they were worried that if they didn't order early, their holiday gifts were not going to arrive on time just because of all the COVID disruptions. Amazon also delayed Prime Day that year from July to October because of the pandemic. And it went so well that it actually stuck. And now, years after the pandemic, they do two Prime Days. They do the one in July, that's kind of the unofficial back-to-school kickoff, and then the one in October, that's basically the unofficial Christmas kickoff. And the motivation has also changed because it's less of a supply chain worry now, but it is very much a motivation to spread out your cash flow. As inflation has really taken center stage the past few years, consumers are worried about cost. Retailers are meeting them where they are. Basically, what people are saying is there's only so many dollars we want to spend for the holidays, and retailers are trying to put their best foot forward early. They're not waiting until Black Friday to unveil the best deals. A lot of people are starting early. About half of holiday shoppers are starting before the end of October, and retailers are rolling out the good deals. They hope that you start early and you just keep buying. But if nothing else, they capture those dollars early rather than ceding them to their rivals. I would argue that it's a good thing. I know it feels a little crazy that, you know, some of us are still coming to grips with the fact that summer is over, and then now you're talking about Christmas shopping. But, you know, it's true. It gives you the opportunity to spread out your cash flow. You still have six paychecks between now and the end of the year in most cases. And you want to set money aside from each of them so that you're not going into debt. Find the best deals. I would say use this time to your advantage.
I mean, have we seen any impact on like hiring trends? We usually see, you know, stores like Target do these big seasonal hiring sprees. Are we going to see that this year with the holiday shopping season being spread out?
That has definitely shifted. Some of it is starting earlier. Some of it's also morphing into a different format. So it's not as many in-store associates. It's more about warehousing, delivery, transportation, things like that. The whole holiday season has shifted. What we've really seen the past 5 years is a lot more buying in October and November. And then December, not that it's an afterthought. I mean, it's still the core of the holiday season, but a lot of the dollars have been spent by then. The early season numbers have been surprising to the upside, and December has faded a bit. Black Friday is not the kickoff anymore. It's the mid-season, or it's almost the beginning of the end of holiday shopping season. Now, especially this year, Thanksgiving is late. There are only 27 shopping days between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year. So that's another thing that may be encouraging the early start.
So for people that are planning their fall, early winter festivities, if you want to call them festivities, I mean, should people be planning for the Black Friday experience? Should people be planning on Thanksgiving, you know, being, I like to call it Black Friday Eve, meal up and then get to bed early and wake up early the next morning and head out to the stores? Or are they going to be disappointed in what they see or what they expect?
I see it more as a season of deals. Black Friday itself has lost some of its luster. You don't need to get up at 5 a.m. and hit the doorbusters anymore. I mean, sure, if you want to, they're still there. But, you know, a lot of the good deals start in October and they just keep rolling. And a lot of them are online, too. We used to think about Black Friday being in person and Cyber Monday is the online version. Now it's this real season of deals. A lot of it's online. Some of it's in store. You can do it at your own pace, I would say. The deals you're going to see next week are probably pretty similar to the deals we're going to be seeing on Black Friday and Cyber Monday. The advantage of starting early is it gives you the opportunity to spread out your cash flow. So I would say, if nothing else, even if you say this is crazy, it's too early, if nothing else, start saving money now. The average credit card charges 20%. You don't want to be paying off this Christmas a year from now. Set money aside from every paycheck, build that budget, that holiday fund, that gift list. Ideally, you would spread out some of these purchases, and it gives you some time to do that. But really start to get the plan together now. It also helps you enjoy the season more because there are a lot of parties and other events in November, December. If you get some of the shopping out of the way, it can help you.
All right. So as people are preparing to get their costumes, their candy corn, their spooky decorations, I mean, what type of deal should people be looking for maybe next week or sometime this month for Christmas?
For events like Prime Big Deal Days, we often see some of the best promotions on small personal electronics, kitchen appliances, especially the smaller ones, not so much the refrigerators and the big things, but more of like the tabletop mixer, the air fryer, some of the smaller appliances and electronics. Fitness gear is definitely hot. We're going to see a lot of good clothing deals. Things like that are likely to have the most discounts, but really across the board, retailers are going to have to bend on price this year because even though the economy is doing okay, it's not going to be a blockbuster season for retailers. They're probably going to grow their sales something like 3-3.5%, more or less in line with inflation. And they are going to have to bend on price. Consumers are price conscious. They have dollars to spend, but they're worried about the high cost of living. So they want a bargain. A lot of people are going to be looking for 30% off or so as kind of the floor. Another good tip is to stack discounts. So take advantage of whatever promo the store offers, but don't stop there. Use a rewards credit card that you hopefully pay off right away and avoid interest and get the rewards. You can go through an online shopping portal like Rakuten or shop through Chase. You get additional rewards points or cash back that way. You can use card-linked offers like Amex offers and Chase offers. And those are basically digital coupons that you can combine with these other strategies. Stacking is really the name of the game. Combine multiple savings opportunities on the same purchase.
And you mentioned like 30% being the floor in discounts. I mean, what type of discount should we be expecting as a consumer? What would be too great or too little of a discount or too great of a price for being a good deal or not?
It feels like 30% is kind of the new 20%, that a lot of people are expecting at least 30% off. Now, hey, if the store is going to give 40 or 50% off, that's even better. Not sure we can expect for too much more than that broadly. I mean, yes, there will be some things marked down to like 70% off, but I feel like in general, 30% is probably a good number to aim for. Retailers play some tricks though. I mean, sometimes these sales are kind of discounted off an artificially high price. And another good tip is to use technology to your advantage. Price comparison apps, coupon apps, things that help you find the best deals. So that could be Honey or Capital One Shopping or things like that. Camel is an Amazon price comparison tool. Just because something says 30% off doesn't necessarily mean it's a great deal if a competitor is offering it for less or if that's kind of just an artificial markdown off some crazy high price that no one was really paying. So you do want to do a little homework. And that's another reason why the early start can help you because it gives you more time and you're not rushed at the end.
So speaking of tricks, let's get back to Halloween and trick-or-treating. With these discounts for the holiday season, would any of that really play into Halloween as well for whether it's costumes or, again, decorations? Could people be seeing better deals on things for Halloween that the retailers are thinking are more for Christmas?
The lines are definitely blurring. I mean, we see a lot of impulse shopping, a lot of treating yourself. Look at some of these Prime Day events, for example, that even though the July one is kind of phrased as the back to school kickoff and the October one is kind of the Christmas kickoff, there's going to be a lot of everyday items for sale. I mean, certainly you could buy a Halloween costume during next week's Prime event. Doesn't have to be Christmas stuff. So yeah, the lines are definitely blurring. I'm in the New York area. It's still pretty warm here. It's kind of unseasonably warm. It almost feels like summer is still going. And yet you go into some of these big box stores and you see Christmas trees and wreaths. And it's kind of weird the way that the seasons have blurred. But that's sort of where we're at right now. And it is kind of just this big mishmash of fall shopping events.
So since Christmas is expanding, should we see, I mean, we've probably seen it with some other holidays. I'm thinking like Valentine's Day, where we see, I guess, the stretching of holiday periods. I mean, are there certain holidays, or I'm thinking of like things like Memorial Day, Labor Day, when like mattress deals, where we'll see more of that spreading in those areas as well? Or is this primarily a Christmas holiday season exclusive experience?
This is really the biggest time of year for retailers, and they're really going to be stressing the holiday shopping deals the next few months. You know, it is still true that people say Black Friday is sort of the time of year that they get back in the black, they get back to profitability. You know, it is definitely still a big time on the calendar. It's just less about that single day or even that weekend. It's really lengthened out. And I would think of it as really a season of deals that starts in early October and then just continues through the end of the year. Q1 is usually a lot slower for retailers. So they are definitely going to be looking to make hay while the sun shines the next few months. And consumer confidence is in a pretty downbeat kind of place. Actual spending has generally been better. Some of that is because we have to, and everything we buy seems to cost more these days. Some of it is because people want to, and they want to celebrate the holidays, they want to go on trips, they want to go out to eat. Upper income households are driving a lot of the spending. That's another point worth throwing in there, that Moody's says the top 10% of earners are accounting for 50% of all spending, and that's an all-time high in a data set that goes back to the late 80s. So that's another thing that is influencing shoppers these days. Not everyone's experience is the same. Upper income households are certainly faring better. You know, we see that in a number of ways, whether it's the spending on services like travel and dining or physical items. Everyday shoppers are very inflation strained, and many are trading down to cheaper stores and cheaper brands. And we do see a lot of people looking for money-saving strategies. Some of the frustration is people feel like they've been doing that for years, and it's kind of like, well, what else can I cut at this point?
That's Bankrate's Ted Rossman. I'm Dennis Foley.
I just got a text asking me to approve a bank transfer I didn't make. I bet you get messages like this too. So much of our lives are online today, from email to banking and everything in between. To make sure my information was protected, I checked out CISA's Secure Our World website for simple steps to stay safe online. Now I know how to protect myself from scammers, and you can learn too. Go to CISA at cisa.gov/secureourworld.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include this Monday, October 6th at 8 p.m. benefiting Henderson Equality Center, and Monday, October 20th at 8 p.m. benefiting the Roseman University Empowered Program. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. The All Life Pregnancy Clinic is holding their 40th anniversary Race for Life 5K run and 1 mile walk next Saturday, October 11th from 7:30 to 10 a.m. at Cornerstone Park, 1600 Wigwam Parkway in Henderson. Get all the details and sign up to race or walk at alllife.org. That's A-L-L-Y-F-E, alllife.org. The Nevada chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation is holding their annual Unite for Bleeding Disorders walk next Saturday, October 11th, with registration at 9 a.m. and the walk starting at 10 a.m., followed by a picnic lunch at Floyd Lamb Park. A variety of prizes will be awarded for the top teams and individuals, and if you personally raise or donate $25 or more, you'll receive a special Unite for Bleeding Disorders t-shirt. Find out the details or register to walk at uniteforbleedingdisorders.org. That's uniteforbleedingdisorders.org. Green Our Planet's Fall Giant Student Farmers Market, sponsored by Formula One Las Vegas Grand Prix, is happening on Thursday, October 16th from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Clark County Government Center in downtown Las Vegas, 500 South Grand Central Parkway. The student-run farmers market will feature produce grown from Clark County School District school gardens. Student farmers will be there to sell their produce and crafts to the public, with all proceeds returning to the schools to preserve the garden programs. Find out more at greenourplanet.org. That's greenourplanet.org. NAMI Southern Nevada, our local chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, is hosting their NAMI Walk Southern Nevada fundraising walk on Saturday, October 18th from 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. with registration at 8:30 at Lorenzi Park, 3333 West Washington Avenue. This year's walk is Halloween themed and costumes are encouraged. Register, create a team, or find out more at namiwalks.org/Southern Nevada. That's NAMI, namiwalks.org/Southern Nevada. Communities and Schools of Nevada is holding their 15th annual Today for Tomorrow fundraising UnGala on Saturday, October 18th at 6 p.m. at Fontainebleau, Las Vegas. This year's honoree is former board chair and president, Congresswoman Susie Lee, and the theme is TV game show Family Feud. Find out more or get your tickets at cisnevada.org. That stands for Communities and Schools Nevada, cisnevada.org. And the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department Foundation is holding their 12th annual Best of the Badge Gala on Friday, October 24th at 5 p.m. at The Wynn. Get tickets, sponsor an officer, or find out more at lvmpdfoundation.org. That stands for Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department Foundation, lvmpdfoundation.org.